Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
Another round of new highs. Markets are on fire. The June employment report brings both joy and concern. But we have a Goldilocks situation brewing. We're going to look below the surface today, and a very happy 4th of July to you and yours. All this and much more on episode number 721 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. How are you? Welcome to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. I'm Andrew Horowitz, and I am doing pretty well. I hope you're doing as well also. Had an interesting weekend. Let me give you a couple of bits of information before we move on to give you a little bit more to listen to, a little bit more hopefully to love. We have a couple of things going on, as you know, each and every week, the Disciplined Investor Podcast. But did you know, and if you haven't, you need to go and you need to check this out, DH Unplugged, which is another podcast going on since 2008. Myself and John C. Dvorak, each and every week, well, we get into it. We talk about some things that are not, exactly what you'd hear on the regular news channels, regular newspapers, the regular magazines, if any that's even anywhere relevant anymore. But we talk about things, we do some games with the listeners, we do some stock pick contests between John and myself just for fun, and we really spend a lot of time digging down into what is happening, what is really behind the message that we are seeing in terms of financial-related information and news. So DH Unplugged, just simply that. You go to the website, you can, of course, go to any podcasting site and or an app and check that out as well and get those downloads. Or if you are inclined, you can be with us live on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, where we are available right on the button Eastern time. Check that out. So it is a long weekend, and here we are, July 4th, 2021. I did some fishing this weekend. I ran down. It took a really long ride. A lot of you write me, you're interested in my fishing and some of the things we do with recipes. So I thought I'd just start with a quick story, which is, I wouldn't say it's a good story. I mean, we ran all the way down to Key Largo to see if there was better fishing. That's about a 45-mile run from Fort Lauderdale. And we thought maybe there'd be some good fishing. Not really at the end of that story is not really. Quite a few mahi-mahi, but we left 5 a.m. off the dock. And we headed south towards Miami. And as you know, we've been dealing with a very terrible situation down here with the building collapse in Surfside, which is, I'll call that North Miami area. It's a bit north of Miami. So in between where I was starting off my run from Fort Lauderdale down to the Keys. So we're cruising down, and about 6 a.m. I saw these lights. These bright lights, I'm wondering, at the time, not thinking about anything because it was pretty early in the morning, thinking, what are those bright lights? I don't think, are they in the water? I couldn't tell exactly what was going on. Then I saw, as we got closer, it got bigger and bigger, these lights, and I was like, wow, look at that. I'm like, oh, now I'm noticing that there are police boats out in the water surrounding this whole area. There's blocks upon streets, upon avenues and ways blocked off. So realizing now that this is the Surfside condominium that collapsed, that is on the ocean side. And I got to tell you, as I got closer, I got right there, you know, far enough away not to get in the line of any of the police that were blocking the areas out in the ocean because there's a no-go zone there. Saw the cranes and the lights and the devastation. And I got to tell you, terrible. Terrible. horror, the enormity of the situation was right there and put some reality, not the TV reality that we see, not, you know, not like what we see and read about and hear about, and just terrible, just terrible. And now on top of all this, we have this storm that's coming that will make it even more difficult for any of the rescue and cleanup, and just terrible and sad. That's how I kind of started the day. The day ended up well, but just take a moment to realize how incredibly horrible, sad our thoughts, our wishes, and obviously the utmost of respect for all of those that are in the process of helping to dig out and do this horrible and probably very sad and life-changing job of now and doing this rescue attempt and all this involved. And we know all this involved. We don't talk about it. It's terrible. It is the holiday weekend. It's a holiday shortened week for the markets coming up. Monday, the markets are closed. But here we are now as we think about all the things that can happen in life. And here we are at the halfway point of the year. And thinking about some of the things we get related to the markets and what we saw at the end of the week with the jobs number that came out and the reaction of the markets. And thinking back to what we discussed last week in last week's show, we did a roundup. Remember, we did a roundup of the end of the month, the end of the quarter, the performance. We looked at various sectors. We looked at the markets. We looked at the world. We kind of tried to understand how things were going. And well, they were going swimmingly well, weren't they? I mean, things are going well for markets overall. Fixed income markets, not so much. Some areas of, and I would say not areas, pockets of maybe the equity markets. Not as good as others, but still not bad. Generally speaking, everything is doing well. In fact, pretty much every single asset class, and when you break it down by sectors, commodities and real estate and equities. Again, some fixed income doing well. The broad-based income, fixed income index, the Barclays, down for the year. I think it's down 1.9% for the year to date. And that is a product of the concern about inflation that we saw, which has changed recently. But the concern about inflation that we saw in the early part of this year into March and April and January, actually, that started moving up as well. Well, markets are built and building on the strength that we saw the last few weeks. And pretty much that continuation process of what we've been seeing of buying and adding and a slow seeping in of the liquidity that's out there, being sucked in to the market out of the liquidity and the lower interest rate paying kinds of investments. We saw that follow through on the Strong's job report as the U.S. yields ticked lower. The U.S. dollar ticked lower. So bond yields sink and the dollar moves lower. Gold and silver were actually up on Friday. So what gives? I mean, wait a second. We have what's supposed to be a headline, pretty strong jobs number going on, and then we see the weirdness. Bonds being bought. How does that square? Gold and silver moving up. What is that? What is that? Seems like a Goldilocks situation, if you ask me, doesn't it? I mean, all of a sudden, we're seeing bond yields coming in really hard, down from 1.75% in April to 1.53%. Last week, down to 1.43% on Friday. Essentially, what we had was this terrible bout and this momentary thought that, oh, inflation is going to cause the Fed to do something sooner than they thought. Something we've talked about 100 times. And all of a sudden, it appears that a lot of that angst is gone. That inflation worry has dissipated. That spike that we saw up to April at 1.75 and now just slowly trickling down. But again, it seems to me that we have a bit of a Goldilocks situation here. And what I mean by that is that when we look at the data, the information, the headlines, and and all that comes with it, well, it's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's kind of just right, right? Isn't that what that we had with Goldilocks? You've heard this before, but let me explain that to you. Because the economy is not too hot, says the Fed. The economy is not too cold, says the economists and economy and earnings and analysts. It's just right. But a lot of people are asking, well, what's up with this jobs number? What's up with this report that we saw? Because why did the NASDAQ explode? Why was the buying so broad-based? Why has interest returned to the area that seemed to get the rotation against it? You know, we were really hot on the banks and energy in the beginning of this year. Now, all of a sudden, tech is back in vogue, and they were buying it up hand over fist on Friday. What is going on? So when you dig down into the numbers and you see exactly what happened and you understand what we were looking at on Friday, maybe it would provide you some perspective. Because over the last several months, everything has been really tied pretty strongly to rates. That's why you hear me and everyone else talking about the 10-year. What's going on with the 10-year? What's going on with the yields? So right now, that is a big issue. And perhaps when you dig down and see that the employment rate, the unemployment rate, actually was not as good as it could be. It missed expectations. And the headline itself was much stronger than what we saw below the surface. Well, that actually makes some sense. See, a 5.9% unemployment rate. And the reason I talk about this is not to get into the minutiae of this employment situation, but there's a bigger topic at hand here. There's a much more important lesson to be learned from what happened specifically on Friday and what's been going on in a broad base over the last several months. So when we dig down into this report and we talk about all the things that are responsible possibly for how the reaction happened on Friday, which by most accounts, if you read the headline, you would have said, wow, look at that really strong employment report. You know what? Or if you looked at the numbers and how many people that came on the payrolls, you may say, well, the Fed is back in play here. Fed is going to possibly raise rates. Oh my gosh, what happens if liquidity is drawn out of the markets? And all of a sudden, the markets open and Wait a second. I thought that if we had really strong numbers and really strong economic numbers, the Fed is going to start reducing their accommodative stance. And therefore, what's going to happen from there is we're going to see a liquidity draw. And that is going to be really negative. We'll see interest rates go up. Inflation is probably hitting hard. And we're going to have some problems. Oh, but here's what really happened. As I mentioned, the unemployment rate, 5.9%, ticked up a bit. Average hourly earnings were plus 3%. And the average work week was 34.7 hours. All of those missed expectations. Now, not only that, we saw that the labor participation rate, which is used in the calculation of how many people, or the statistical calculation of the unemployment rate, I should say, it was unchanged. And not only that, there were higher rates of unemployment for minority groups. So all the things that had been going right for some time, when we dig into the report itself, not as good as expected. Interesting. So what you're telling me, Horowitz, is this, that I shouldn't just take the word from the headline. I should look below that and see exactly what the report is telling me. Yeah. Hey, what a novel idea. And when we do that, we can see that there's some weakness that is starting to creep in. And then we have the other piece of information, right? The other part of this puzzle, that pesky pandemic again. this Delta variant spread. Now, I got to tell you, during the heart of the pandemic when it first hit, I was digging into all sorts of information, trying to understand exactly what this would all mean, how it would affect not only us as human beings, you, myself, my family, everybody from a health standpoint, but also looking at it from, all right, what does this mean to the economy? And I could tell you right now, at this point, things are, again, moving so quickly. I don't know whether it's the Delta Plus. I don't know if there's going to be a Gamma. I don't know if there's going to be a Delta Plus 2, 5. No, I don't know what we're going to have in the future with this, how long it's going to last, or if the antibody discussion back and forth, the vaccine. I don't know, and frankly, I don't care anymore. I'll be honest with you. I don't care. Get the vaccine. Don't get the vaccine. You know what? It's up to you. Seriously. My preference is you get the vaccine. Let's move beyond it, because I am seeing, and I don't know if you've seen this too, more recently than actually during the peak, I've had more people that I know get COVID over the last month than I had, I think, during the entire break, you know, the major breakup out in, March, April of 2000. I mean, I honestly, several people, probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, I would say 8 to 9 people that I know or I know of, I mean, that are either family, friends, or people that we know, all of a sudden getting this, and the younger. What does that mean? Is it as fatal? Is it not? Is it going to be hospitalizations? Is it not? Is it going to have long-term implications or not? Is it going to, again, not something that any longer, because of all of the politicized, you know, mask, no mask, all of that, putting it aside. How is that going to impact the economy? That's something we'll look at. How is that going to provide for the continuation of stimulative actions by governments around the world? Hey, that's something we want to look at, because you know what? What we didn't count on, I think, originally when the pandemic hit, was the incredible amount of money that would be spent on it from the perspective of stimulating economies around the world. 100 billion? Nah. 500 billion? No. A trillion? No. We're talking tens and tens of trillions of dollars from around the world, from various governments combined with central banks, have been shoved into the economies. Even though we have lockdowns happening. In fact, I just heard that the Bahamas was on a semi-lockdown. Australia having problems. I think a lot of the areas are locked down for a couple of weeks. Now, whether or not that works and whether or not you want to discuss it, not the point. I'm done talking about the whole pandemic in terms of, you know, oh, this is the right thing to do, this is the wrong thing to do. I mean, listen, we don't have the information. Nobody does. But how does it affect the economy? How does it affect the fact that we will see the continuation of the largesse of central banks and the amount of time and willingness they're going to put into low interest rates forever, and governments doling out all sorts of money for incredible amounts of time? So is it possible, with all of that that we know, the combination of the below-the-surface economic report and some of the other things like housing and all that starting to slow down, is it possible that with the knowledge of that information, that algo traders were set to look for yields being dropped to buy up tech and growth? And that report, that unemployment report we saw on Friday, provided for just the right amount of good news and bad news. Goldilocks. If you're thinking, yeah. But you know what? Those blowout numbers that we saw, and markets are moving up, this is all clear. And yes, clearly that's what we saw on one side of the discussion on Friday, right? Wow, we have some really good numbers. We're healing. We're getting back to where we need to be. When we top that off with all of the stimulus that's already in the system, low interest rates, and the fact that we're going to see a lot more healing and back to work and reopening around the world over time. Man, this is a good as time as ever. So that's one side. There's the other side of people are thinking that, you know, you dug down, you looked at the details of the report and thought, wow, not such a great report, not as great as expected. We're seeing a lot of problems around the world and the Fed's going to play a bigger role for a bit longer. And if we can't get these numbers up, well, you know what? You're right too. But I'll share with you. Frankly, it's getting a bit exhausting trying to look at some of the reasons. Because the fact is we're in a unique market and economic situation right now. And if I can unburden you from something, there's no need to really get all tied up in a bunch about the reasons. I mean, I know you want a reason. You could have just simply boil it down to just to this, that people are buying stocks and there's more liquidity and money and desire. And that's really what's been going on right now. Maybe people had a near-death experience and realized, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? And you know that generally speaking, stocks had a pretty good run over the last 100 years. You know, we consider the long view. Maybe it's just that simple. Investors looking out and figuring, you know, if the financial crisis was actually good for stocks in the long run, right? And if all this technology is good for economies and the ability to really expand and grow due to the abilities that we now have at this point of where we are. Can you imagine where we're going to be in a number of years from now with technology and what that's going to bring to the potential for economies, right? And what about that pandemic? Complete lockdowns. It only took stocks down for a short period of time. And then that incredibly fast recovery that was very profitable for people if you did get on board, that leads to almost every week seeing a new high. Well, what's to be afraid of? Especially if I'm looking out 10 or 15 or 20 years. I mean, maybe this is what's going on. Maybe this is the thinking, and that's what's happening in the markets. Maybe it's that simple that there is no really good alternative otherwise. And the fact of the matter is that people are saying, you know what? I need to plan for myself and for my future. Where am I going to get that opportunity? And they're not looking at each individual note, individual economic report, every single move or benefit above or below an analyst estimate. And maybe they're saying, you know what? I need to buy stocks right now. I want you to just consider that for a second. Just consider that. Listen, I know not everyone has that opinion. I mean, you may be in the camp that there's a crash imminent. Yeah, prices are too high and valuations are ridiculous. I'm going to ask you something, challenge you to really just for a moment look inside, look at yourself and ask yourself, how long have you been thinking this, and when and if and do you finally change your opinion one day? Do you ever? I can tell you that I'm always on the lookout for when that other shoe is going to drop. I'm always watching for, okay, I understand the information. I see what's going on right here. But you know, what thing can happen right now? And I really do believe that a lot of people have said, well, what's the worst that can happen right now? We get some kind of, I don't know, we have a war that breaks out. We have, I don't know, a recession. We went through the worst possible thing that every business was closed down. And we still recovered. And you may be thinking, you know what? Man, the higher the prices, the more I dig in, valuations are getting even more out of control. But you remember something a few weeks ago, I asked the question, what if I'm wrong? I think we talked about it on DH Unplugged. I talked about it on The Disciplined Investor. What if I'm wrong? What if you're wrong? What if we're wrong? I mean, do you think about that? What's the other side? What's the worst they could get? But back then I was asking more about the bullishness, right? I was saying, well, you know, if you're in the bullish camp and you have fully invested and you're margined up and you buy the crypto and you're buying all these tech stocks and you're buying all these SPACs and you're really hardcore. And I said, you know, well, what if you're wrong? And I was talking about hedging some of that a little bit. I was saying, you know, what if to the moon doesn't materialize, right? And things don't go the way you think they're going to go. So this week I'm switching it up. Turning it around. I like to do that. Have you noticed that? I do that a lot. Kind of take something and let's look at the other side. And I think it's very healthy and important as an investor and as a disciplined investor to look at what if I'm wrong, what's the other side? If you start getting involved and just listening to what you want to hear and you get into a point where you're just thinking about all the things, you know, we call that a confirmation bias. Oh, yeah, that one article out of nowhere. You know, there's 1,000 articles that say this is a good company, but that one article that says, oh, hey, you know what? Big problems. You're like, yep, I knew it. It's like the guy who goes to the doctor and he's like, hey, doc, my elbow's killing me. The doctor says, you know what? You need surgery. Okay, I'm getting a second opinion. Goes to another doctor. Hey, doctor, my elbow's killing me. You know, I think you need surgery. Oh, I'm going to get another opinion. He does this with 4 other doctors. Finally, he goes to a doctor. His doctor. It's like 2 weeks later. My elbow's killing me. Doctor says, you know what? Just rub this cream on. You don't need surgery. I knew it, he says. Okay? So when you're thinking about where your head is, I want you to ask the question, when is there a time that you change your outlook? When do you actually step away from the preconceived notions about anything? And in this case, we're talking about markets. Because here we are at the halfway point of 2021. Can you start yourself off with a clean slate and look at your investments as they are now and what you want them to be in the future? And take that and look at that objectively. Because life is too short to stick with ideas that aren't working, to hold on to notions and theories that are just not good for you, that haven't worked out. So on this long weekend, I was thinking, you know what? What can you do? Can you just let this marinate a little bit? Just don't say, oh, no, he's wrong. No, that's what I'm saying. Get rid of all that. Let it go. Just try it. Just try it. Try it on. Whether you're thinking that markets are going to go up forever, when they're going to go down forever, whether they're not going to do anything good, whether you're in the right stock, the wrong stock, I think this is the only thing possible. Let it all go. Let it all go. I want you to spend a little time, just a little, like almost a clear-headed meditational moment to allow yourself to let other ideas in. Allow yourself to let go of some of the things and theories that have been hurting you for so long. Because I see this. I see people holding on to stocks in their portfolios when they come into me and they're like, hey, I got this. It's at a loss. I'm waiting for it to come back. I'm like, wait, let me get this straight. You bought it for $60 a share. It's now $2 a share. What are we waiting for? Now, mind you, that may be too much of a loss to take on. But what about if you bought the stock for $50 and now it's trading at $38? I'm waiting for it to come back. And I asked the simple question. I'm like, listen, forget about what that stock is. Forget about what you know about it. Just for a moment, clean the slate. If you had those shares at $38 right now, that equals, let's just call it $22,000. Would you actually go, if you had $22,000 in cash right at this moment and no stocks and no investments in your portfolio, would you take that $22,000 And would you put it all into that stock? And if the answer, before you tell me, if the answer is yes, we're good to go. If the answer is no, I'm going to ask, is there a better use for that money somewhere else? Flipping the script a little bit, thinking a little differently, giving Goldilocks a little bit of a run for her money, and trying to make sure that you do not have a mental mindset that is hurting yourself because of all these notions that you have in line and that you don't like to be wrong. Let's admit it. We don't like to be wrong. Nobody likes to be wrong. I got to tell you, one of the healthiest things you could do is say, you know what? I was wrong. And maybe from the perspective of investing, that will work out for you in the long haul. Again, it could be any side of the market equation that you want to look at. That's all I wanted to say. And since it's the holiday weekend, well, I think we're going to cut it short a little bit and have a short show this weekend. Just want to wish you grand fireworks in everything you do from here on forward. Let's get after it, okay? Here we are, post-halfway point of 2021. Let's not wait till the beginning of the year to start thinking, you know, maybe I'll start that diet now. Maybe I'll start thinking about investing better for my portfolio, diversifying, moving in, moving out, whatever I'm going to do, changing my perspective, because, you know, why not make history starting right now? As opposed to waiting to sometime in the future, thinking about it, and it never happening. Now's the time. Thanks for joining me. Have a great 4th of July. I wish you the very best. I'll see you again next week. Nothing discussed in this podcast should be considered a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Past performance is no indication of future results. In addition, the information presented is not intended to be used as a sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should be construed as advice designed to meet the individual needs of any particular investor. Nothing herein constitutes legal, accounting, or tax advice, or individually tailored investment advice. Remember, investing involves substantial risk. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results, and a loss of original capital may occur. No one receiving or accessing this information should make any investment decision without first consulting his or her own personal financial advisor and conducting his or her own research and due diligence, including carefully reviewing any applicable prospectuses, press releases, reports, and other public filings of the issuer of any securities being considered. Please consider this for educational purposes only. As always, use your best judgment when investing. Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.